studying this great prophetic portion of the Holy Scriptures, commonly known as the Olivet Discourse. We're going to look now at verse 32 and seek to take a survey from there to the end of the chapter. First of all, may I suggest that verses 32 through 34, the lesson there to be learned is this: watchfulness is required. In verses 35 and 36, we're taught this lesson, that God's word will remain. Then verses 37 through 44, the warning is reinforced. Then the closing verses, you'll find that verses 45 and 47 deal with a wise servant who is rewarded. Verses 48 through 51, a wicked servant is revealed. Let us look then at the opening verses of this section, that is verses 32 through 34. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So he says, learn from the fig tree. Here then is the parable of the fig tree. When the leaves begin to appear, it is an indication of a certain time and the approach of summer. So he said, learn that parable. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. From the parable, there is a principle to be applied. Do you recall that in a previous study, we pointed out there are places in the Bible where the nation of Israel is likened unto a grapevine? And then there are places where Israel is likened unto an olive tree. And then places where it is likened unto a fig tree. It is the fig tree here. Now Israel, as the fig tree, will again begin to bud out, according to what they said here. And when it is seen that these things are happening, then it should be known that he is near. Now let me say this very plainly to all my listeners today. There is no need for us to be in the dark with regards to the budding out of the fig tree. Throughout the whole of the 20th century, there has been a trend of reviving of the nation of Israel. There have been those who, from a political desire, wanted to get back to the land of Palestine. The Jews were being so persecuted in other countries that it seemed that the only answer to the persecution was to have a land of their own, and no land would ever satisfy them except the land that we know as the Middle East, Palestine. And so right throughout the 20th century, the great Zionist movement has been pushing on. Others, of course, from a religious point of view, wanted to get back to the land and re-establish themselves as a nation and introduce again their religion. By one way or another, they were going back. And then certain agreements were made. And ultimately, without going into all the details, We are aware of this, that in the year 1948, the nation of Israel was recognized as a world power. They were set up again with their own government, back in the land. Oh, it's perfectly true that there were those around them who sought to oppose them. There were those who threatened to push them out again into the Mediterranean. But now a lot of years have passed since then, and still they're in the land. They have got themselves, as it were, well entrenched. They have their own system. You see, the fig tree began to bud out. They have their own laws and regulations, their own parliament, their own money, their own economic system, teaching their own language, etc., etc. Now he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that he is near, even at the door. Now the fact of the matter is then, there's the parable of the fig tree. Take the natural thing. When you see the fig tree and it begins to bud, you say, well, summer is approaching for science. Now take it from a national point of view. The nation has been back in the land now for a number of years. The fig tree is budding out, a power to be reckoned with. Now watch. There's a certain group of people here who are specially mentioned. He said this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That statement has created quite a lot of controversy and perhaps quite a lot of confusion in the minds of some people. What is meant by a generation? What is meant by this generation? Did it mean that the generation to whom he was speaking at that time would not pass until all these things were fulfilled? Well, it's obvious that that isn't true. It was not applied to the people of that day. But does this expression, this generation, simply apply to the people of Israel in general? Now, if you apply it to the nation of Israel in general, and you say, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, then of course that could be acceptable, for the simple reason that in spite of the persecution leveled against that nation, the people who sought to destroy them, they continued to be a nation, even when they didn't have a land, when the temple was destroyed, and they had no leader, and they had no governing body of their own. Still they continued to be a nation. Nevertheless, the day came when they've been revived, and they're still there, and they'll be there to the very end. They're God's people. So it could be applied to Israel in general. Or, should it be applied to those who will be alive when these things begin? That is, the people who have been born, as it were, from the time that Israel went back into the land. Is it referring to them that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled? If that be so, then let me suggest there's a need for watchfulness. If you watch the signs of nature with a tree beginning to bud, then we should also watch the signs in the world so far as nations are concerned, so far as the economy of the world is concerned. There seems to be multiplying things around us that would cause us to realize that coming events are casting their shadows before them, and each one should be given to watchfulness. But we must also admit that we are living in a time of great change. For example, verse 35 says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, I want you to take note. There's a contrast here between creation and revelation. Away back in the book of Genesis, it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's very plain. This verse says, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's creation. Creation will pass away and there will be brought in the new creation. That's perfectly clear from a reading of the scriptures. But over against that, here is something that shall not pass away. That is the word of revelation. It abides. While heaven and earth, that pertains to creation, shall pass away, my words, that's got to do with revelation, shall not pass away. Which simply means this: there is the certainty of divine truth. God's word must abide and will be brought to pass. I care not who the man may be who will occupy the places of rule in the days that lie before us. Rulers may rise and then pass on. They may serve their generation and go out. There are different ways in which men are taken from the place of office. Every nation isn't controlled in the same way. Some people get into the place of rule by putting to death the person that occupied that place. And so we have assassinations and new rulers take over. Other places are more democratic. They run for office and they're voted in. Now, I'm not concerned at the moment with the method that's used. I'm simply saying this: rulers rise and rulers fall. They come and they go. Many changes are wrought. But remember this, my friend: no matter what these men may do, no matter what their policies or their plans may be, we should rest assured of this. There is the certainty of divine truth. There is no certainty today in the covenants that are signed between nations. There is no certainty whatsoever by men using pens to put their name or ascribe their name to documents. They can sign them today and destroy them tomorrow. You know that, I know that. But here is something that shall abide. It will be brought to pass. That is divine truth. Wherever we have revelation from God, you can rest assured that will come to pass. Again, I want you to notice this. He says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Note, it is God that controls what he purposes to do. If God has purposed to do a certain thing, you can rest absolutely assured that God will control all the circumstances surrounding it until his purposes are finally fulfilled. God knows the end from the beginning. If you are a Christian, you can rest assured of this, that God's purposes will ripen fast and God's purposes will come to finality. Now, that being so, we notice that a warning here is reinforced. In verse 37 we read, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now I want you to take note of this, that in that particular little section, first of all, there is given to us the record of history, with a view to reinforcing the warning. Following the record of history, there is the revelation of prophecy. Then there is the reason for being ready. Now look at the record of history. This is taken from the days of Noah, the time when men rejected the warnings of God and perished in the flood of judgment. Now remember, in the days of Noah, God was long-suffering, and the people were well warned. Before Noah began to preach, one of his ancestors did a bit of preaching. His name was Enoch. Enoch was a preacher of coming judgment. But Noah was also a preacher. Noah preached righteousness, but prepared for the coming judgment. But in spite of the fact of the preaching of Enoch and the preaching of Noah, the people who lived before the flood, they didn't think of preparing for what was coming. Why, of course, they were spending all their time eating and drinking. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating or drinking. I suppose every day people have got to eat something and they've got to drink something. These are the two necessities of life, to eat and to drink. But it's not the end all in life. It seems that in the days of Noah, that's what they were living for. They weren't eating in order to live. They were living in order to eat. They were eating and drinking. It would seem to excess. And might I suggest at the present time there's a lot of people doing the same thing? And then there's nothing wrong with people getting married or giving their daughter in marriage. Marriage is honorable, says the Bible. But notice here they were marrying and giving in marriage. In plain words, it seems to be there was something excessive about this. Just the same as at the present time. There's a lot of things going on at the present time which are not according to the moral standards of the Bible. And if you go back to the book of Genesis and read the context of what is referred to here, you'll find that the people were living in immorality. And so they were eating and drinking to excess, and they were marrying and giving in marriage, right until the very day that Noah entered into the ark. They seemed to be unconcerned, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Here is the record of history, taken from the days of Noah. Now remember, I have pointed out they rejected the warnings of God. And having rejected the warnings, they perished when the judgment came. Now in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, the Lord has been giving this great message, known as the Olivet Discourse, telling them that judgment is coming. The great tribulation would come upon this world. But it seems that people are unconcerned today. They're talking about ushering in a utopia, talking about what they can do by legislation. My friend, listen. This old world is getting worse. Morally, it's getting worse. It's going down and down. And economically, we're in a bind. No one seems to have the answer. Spiritually, people are turning away from God. Now watch. Here's the revelation of prophecy. He said, as it was, so shall it be. As in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord Jesus Christ distinctly says that as it was in the days of Noah, just prior to the flood, so it shall be again in the closing time of the end. And then, at the time when the flood did come, remember there was 8 people in the ark of safety, sheltered and secure. But the majority were on the outside and perished in the judgment. Now, he said, as it was, so shall it be. So there's a coming day of judgment. Judgment is coming upon this old earth. As it was, so shall it be. Now, I want you to notice again the title that's used here. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is referring not to the Lord coming for his church at the time of the rapture, as set forth in the Epistle to the Thessalonians chapter 4. This is referring to the time when the Lord shall come and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, when he'll come as the Son of Man in power and in glory. This is referring to his coming in manifestation to the world. And at that time, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now remember, the one that's taken here is taken in judgment. In the days of Noah, those who were taken in the flood were taken in judgment. Those that were left were the 8 who were in the ark and came out onto the new earth. They were left. When the Lord comes for his church at the time of the rapture, those that are taken home to glory, to be forever with the Lord. That's the reason he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But those who are left at that time will be left for judgment. But when he comes in power and glory, those that are taken in judgment. And those that are left for millennial glory. He also tells us not only will there be 2 in the field, but 2 women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, the other left. On the strength of that, he gives us the reason for being ready. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. You see, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Here's a reason for being ready. I wonder how many of my listeners today are ready for whatever emergency may come upon this old world. I wonder how many of my listeners are ready today for the trumpet sound, for the Lord coming for his own. Oh, my friend, listen. The next great event will be when the Lord takes his own out of this world. Then that will usher in the time that we have been studying here in Matthew 24, the time of the great tribulation. Notice the closing verses of this chapter deal with a wise servant, and that wise servant is rewarded. Take note of the position he occupies. He's a servant in the household. Notice the privilege he is given to give meat in due season. Notice the promotion he receives. He'll be made a ruler over all his goods. But then notice now the wicked servant who is revealed. Verses 48-51. Now notice, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. This wicked servant, doctrinally, he is in error. He says, my Lord delayeth his coming. Let me say this, the Lord will not delay his coming. He'll come at the right time. Morally, he is evil. He becomes involved in brawling and drunkenness. Finally, he is punished at the coming of the Lord. Oh, my friend, as you study these vital things in Matthew 24, remember this, the Lord has ordained it, he has revealed it, and this old world is rushing on towards the end of the age. It's up to us to take our warnings from the Word of God and to be ready. So the Lord comes, we're ready to go home to be with him, and he's promised that he'll keep us out of the hour of trial.